52, Jacoby Carbon v. United States. Mr. Porter, are you going first?
Please proceed.
Can you just, before the time starts, can you just tell me how you all have divided your time? Are you both intending to cover all the same issues?
I know. The appellants have divided up the issues. I will address the issue of the surrogate value for carbonized material, and Ms. Khadija Mohan will address the second issue of the truck freight.
Okay. Please proceed.
Thank you. May it please the Court. As I mentioned, I will address the issue of the appropriate surrogate value for carbonized material. We submit the Commerce Department's determination was flawed in a number of respects. The most important is the Commerce Department ignored the actual raw material consumed by the Chinese producer. The government admits as much. On page 27 of their brief, they claim that their choice of surrogate value, which was for a wood charcoal, was reasonable because, they claim, wood charcoal theoretically could be used to produce the subject merchandise. But this approach is wrong.
I thought it was also because that particular category includes coconut shell.
Your Honor, there is no factual dispute that the imports, of the import values, which formed the government's choice, did not include any coconut shell.
Where do you have that in the record?
If that's in the record, it's cited in our brief. Where
it's cited at JA-177 in your brief with no citation to any evidence, and I have scoured this record and can't find any.
You're right. We submitted in our very first submission, surrogate values, we said the reason we are putting on the cocoa community prices is because there were no imports of the coconut charcoal for that particular time period.
You have asserted it, but you have to put evidence in the record. Isn't it your obligation to come forward? Who has the burden of coming forward with evidence?
Thank you, Your Honor. Okay. Ordinarily, the respondents, interested parties, have the burden, but I submit not in this case. And the reason is the way the Commerce Department obtained the data. The Commerce Department itself pulls down the data from the service. We all sort of subscribe to the service, but the Commerce Department itself pulls down the data. They know, as a factual matter, there were no imports of coconut shell charcoal. In fact, they do not dispute that point.
Let's assume they do dispute that point. Weren't you the ones, Jacoby, that submitted the HTS 4402 table with the chart showing, you know, imports of goods that fall within 4402? I'm talking about JA 255 to approximately 257.
Yes, Your Honor. There's a process to these reviews. And then
Commerce ended up relying on that particular submission. I'm talking about 4402.
Okay. Again, with all due respect, the Commerce Department did not rely on our submission for that. They pulled down the data. And I think it's important to emphasize what I'm talking about. In the brief of GHC on page 30 and 31, they list the HTS. And as I think you know, the four-digit HTS is just a sum of the individual 10-digit categories.
Well, it's not clear to me that Commerce had what you are citing now in your appellate brief in front of them during their administrative review process.
They most certainly did, Your Honor.
But it wasn't due to a submission by you, right? Your submission was JA 255 to 257.
Our submission noted because we all do the same thing that the Commerce Department analysts do. We go to the data and we look at it. And our submission made a factual assertion, which was never disputed, that there were no imports of coconut charcoal.
Can you show me where you, in the record, you made the assertion or you,
yes,
your party?
It is our November, I believe,
page 177.
I'm sorry?
Page 177 of the record.
177 of the record. I know it's our November surrogate value.
Yes, your November 16, 2011 submission, right, to the Commerce Secretary.
Yes.
It does say that no data is available as to, you know, coconut shell charcoal. But that's not the same thing as saying there was no coconut shell imports during the relevant period of review. Do you see the distinction between those two sentences?
Your Honor, not in this case. Okay? It's very simple. Everyone pulls down the same data, and the data is by HTS, and it is a factual certainty that there were no imports under this 10-digit of coconut shell charcoal. And there's no dispute about that.
Well, but you never, I don't see where you made the assertion.
Again,
JA-177.
We definitively said there are no imports.
I say there's no data available for coconut shell charcoal from the Philippines imported under HTS, and then you have a typo. You say 4402.00-10, which actually doesn't correspond to any of the various,
yes,
HTSs
I'm,
that I've been frustrated having to understand in this case.
Yes.
So I don't think that one sentence in isolation, without citation of anything. If you're saying we both pulled down the GTA data, and I'll tell you, I pulled down the GTA data. You didn't give it to me. It wasn't part of this record. It wasn't put before Commerce. But I went in and had our library pull it down for every single year, and I matched it up against every chart.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't present any of that evidence to Commerce. Commerce didn't pull it down. They relied on the basket chart overall. And you make an assertion which has typos in it, which I really don't even understand which HTS you're referring to, and you say, that's good enough. Commerce should have known that from that we meant, and I'm not sure you're right even. You say they don't dispute it, I read them as disputing it. But I have the actual charts, and I'm not sure you're actually right about how you're reading the GTA data. Of course, that's not something I should be doing as an appellate court judge, but I've got them. I've got all of them right here. I pulled them down myself, since you're saying it's not in dispute. Seems to me not clear. And it definitely wasn't part of the record, so I don't know what to do about that.
Your Honor, I submit the GTA data is a different type of factual information because Commerce pulls it down itself, and I submit they pull it down and they know because they're pulling down the 10-digit numbers, and that's how you get to the 4-digit sum.
Well, if you're saying it's so easy to pull down the data and everybody knows where to get the data, how come at JA-177 in your 2011 letter you say there are no data available for coconut shell charcoal from the Philippines?
Right, for the particular year in question.
There's no data, so maybe, are you saying, as of 2011, November, there was no data available at that time for...
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Everyone knows we have a specific review period. In this case, I think it was April to March. Everyone knows that's the period.
10 to 2011.
Yeah. And since we're always looking backwards, because there's a review period ends, then the review begins. So we're always looking backwards in time. So there's no issue about whether the data exists. That's what I'm saying.
Well, but, so counsel, I have the data, and I know it's absurd for me to sit here as an appellate court judge and talk to you about the data that's not in the record, but you are correct that there is 1 year for which the basket doesn't include any coconut shell data, but that year is the year ending March of 2010, and your review period is April 1st of 2010 to March 31st of 2011, and for that period, it contains U.S. dollars in the amount of $70,000 worth of coconut shell, which is actually about, I don't know, 35% of the overall in the basket quantity. So, I mean, I've looked at all of the data that you keep saying everybody has access to, and I completely don't see how it supports what you're arguing now.
Your Honor, I see my time is up. I don't want to take my time from my colleague. But
I will be generous.
Okay.
You don't have to worry about
that.
I think we have a lot of questions.
We do.
Okay. But I'm sorry. If you ask to say, let's forget about the record, ask as a matter of truth, ask government counsel whether for this review period there were imports of coconut shell charcoal. But just forget about whether it's gone or just ask that question. The answer will be no because they know it. Okay,
do you think this material is judicially noticeable?
Yes, I do. And in fact, the trade court itself made that during the oral argument, there was this confusion over the typo, and the trade court says, we can take judicial notice of the HTS of the Philippine HTS system. So I do think it's judicial notice. But, and I apologize, I don't have the data that Your Honor has, but I can tell you that there was no dispute about this. The whole dispute below, the reason there was so much discussion was whether you could in fact use wood or not use wood to make the subject merchandise. But that's irrelevant because it's also no dispute that neither of the two producers for whom the Commerce Department was trying to get the surrogate value for this did not consume wood charcoal in producing the merchandise that entered during the review period for which you're trying to calculate a margin.
What is the evidence in the record that shows the difference in the price of wood-based charcoal versus nut or coal-based charcoal?
Well, if the answer to your direct question is the only evidence of the price of the wood-based charcoal is the surrogate value that the Commerce Department used, we submit their evidence of the coconut shell charcoal, which Commerce Department itself repeatedly has said is the best proxy for the coal-based charcoal that was actually consumed. So the coconut shell charcoal, we submit the best evidence is the Cocoa Community publication that the respondents put in.
Mm-hmm. So, and you agree with the proposition that nut-based charcoal is effectively equivalent in price to coal-based charcoal?
I would agree with the Commerce Department's repeated factual conclusion that coconut shell charcoal is the best proxy for coal-based, essentially carbonized material that was consumed by these two producers. I would agree with that. And that's the whole...
Can we back up for 1 second?
Certainly.
One of the things that you have asserted here and is that you absolutely, for the imports of record, don't use wood to make the coal-based charcoal.
Yes.
But I really just don't understand this technology, to be honest with you. But at page 386 of the record, why don't you grab your appendix and let's look at 386, because these are the fact findings by Commerce in their IND.
Yes.
And they differentiate between wood in two ways. Wood feedstock, which can be used to produce products, and wood-based products. One is within the scope of the order, one is not. And so I don't necessarily understand the difference. You can explain it to me. But most importantly, I want you to direct me to expressly where you made it clear to Commerce that you didn't fall in the category of using any wood in the context of making your charcoal.
Certainly. Okay. And this was actually, the whole distinction with wood, charcoal, and wood, I submit, is a complete red herring.
The wood feedstock. I mean, you know what that is.
I submit it's a complete red herring. It's irrelevant. And the reason I do is because of our second underlying factual point, which I submit there can be no dispute, and which is neither of the two producers for whom a surrogate value had to be adopted used wood to produce the subject merchandise that was sent to the United States for this review period.
Yeah, but let
and
me
I will show you in the record where we're going to. If you look at I can show you in the record, but it's a little bit easier to show you in the brief. If you look at page...
Unless the brief... I want a record site. I'm not interested in your argument. I want to hear...
Well, no, I'm sorry, but the brief quotes the record.
Okay.
So I just thought that was easier, I can go through. Look at page 5 of the GHC brief, which is the Ningshot one was.
Citing what page of the appendix?
It's J.A. 77, which is the Commerce Department questionnaire. You can all turn to that. Okay? This is the, if you turn to, since I have it here, if you turn to the, this is the actual questionnaire given to the Chinese producers. And the questionnaire requires the Chinese producers to identify each raw material that they consume to produce a subject merchandise and more, a lot more information. So if you look on page 77, it says, please tell us whether the merchandise you sent was made of coal, bituminous coal, anthracite coal, or wood. And I can tell you as a factual matter, there's not a single shipment by either producer that identified wood as being used to make the merchandise enter during the review period.
Well, hold on.
Where's that in the record?
Are these the record sites that would contain the evidence that you're talking about, A150 to 156, 290 to 301, and 112 to 115, particularly? Those are the spreadsheets that include the references to coal, bituminous and anthracite, as I understand it, for both Cherishnet and Jacoby. Is that the evidence that you're referring us to?
Okay.
Sent in response to the questionnaire?
In response to the questionnaire, each producer gives a database of every single U.S. shipment, and they identify this information of every single U.S. shipment. And you can see that simply by looking at the instructions turned two pages earlier on page 70. Please give a database listing every U.S. sale, and in doing so, identify the type of merchandise that's being shipped to the United States. Okay? And so it's harder to give, you know, databases to the court. So all we're doing is we're saying, we complied. There's no disagreement that the producers didn't comply with this questionnaire. There's no dispute about that.
It's not about whether you complied with the questionnaire. You still haven't pointed me, though. You pointed me to the questionnaire that asks the question. But what you haven't pointed me to is the record evidence that contains the answer that unequivocally put Commerce on notice of the fact that you employed no wood, either as a source material or as feedstock, in the production of your coal-based charcoal.
Okay.
I think I said all that right.
Okay. We did in our brief cite our Section D response in which we noted the supplier called Datong Forward, DTFW, specifically says we only use coal in producing the subject merchandise. That's in our brief, and the record cite is there, so I could find it. So there is evidence that is a questionnaire response of the actual producer in question saying, we only use coal in producing subject merchandise.
Now,
so that's evidence number one, yes.
Tell me if this is the underlying evidence, at least with respect to Cherishnet. If you turn your joint appendix to page 155, there is, at the top of the page, there's a description of a variety of numbers which are identified as in the 1, 2, 3, 4th column, form U, 2, 2, 1, 2, 1, 1.
Mm-hmm.
Those correspond, if I'm correct, to the listings of, found on page 150, of 2 being bituminous coal, not metallurgical grade, and 1, bituminous coal, metallurgical grade. Is that the evidence you're talking about with respect to Cherishnet?
Yes. The point is,
we're looking at the carbon new column.
The point is,
I got the wrong column. It's the 5555555,
right.
Which is anthracite coal.
Your Honor, you're exactly correct. This is the printout of the electronic database given.
And so that's your proof that this all came from
coal. Exactly. Because this lists every single U.S. shipment and identifies the type of merchandise used to produce the subject merchandise. I'm sorry, packet raw material used to produce the subject merchandise. So you are correct. It's this database with those numbers that absolutely demonstrate no wood was used by either producer during this period. And the same exists for Jacoby.
Well, similar.
The point is the same database. I mean, a similar, because we're all required to put the database in the same format. So that the exact same evidence exists for Jacoby. And again, this is not disputed by the government, because it cannot be disputed. These databases, no one's contesting these databases. And these databases all show that neither producer consumed wood. And that's the government's fundamental mistake. They ignored that point when choosing the surrogate value. And I would submit that mistake is contrary to their own policy bulletin, which says you should do prices specific to the input. It's contrary to numerous trade court decisions, which have overturned commerce when they weren't specific to the input. And I actually submit...
Are you saying that commerce can't use these types of basket categories that include the particular species of material, but then also include other related species?
Not if more specific surrogate values exist. That is our position. And that has been the trade court's position. And I submit, actually, this court itself noted this concept in a 2011 case, Zhejiang Duan. My Chinese pronunciation, I'm sure, is horrible. But that's a 2011 case.
Okay, Mr. Porter, yes. I think that we better give Ms. Mohan a chance and move on to the transportation issue.
Thank you for your indulgence, Your Honor.
The court. I will be addressing the issue for truck freight. The Department of Commerce is required to use the best information available on the record, and in this instance, the best information available for truck freight was Thai truck freight data, not Philippine truck freight data as used in the final results. And the reason for this is that Thai truck freight data was superior because it was based on a broad market average covering a range of prices. It was product specific, and it was consistent with commercial reality.
Now, the Thai data, if I understand correctly, was a few years out of date. Is that correct? It went back to 2005, whereas the Philippine data was up to date?
That's correct.
So that would cut in favor of the Philippine data.
I think this is actually a wash on the two. It brings them both, because if you actually look at the preliminary results from this case, the surrogate value memo, which is on the record, in the preliminary results, an inflation rate was applied to the 2005 Thai truck freight data, which made it contemporaneous. And if you actually look at the language used by the department in the preliminary results surrogate value memo, it said Thai truck freight data is contemporaneous. They rendered it contemporaneous by applying inflation. That inflation rate, correct. So the Thai truck freight data represented a broad market average covering a range of prices. Specifically, if you look at the Thai truck freight data, it had 10 different price points. There were two categories of freight over five different routes. So it had 10 different price points, whereas the Philippine data had only one route from Legazpi to Manila. So it didn't account for the regional variations or different load conditions. It didn't have a broad market average the way that the Thai truck freight data did.
I have a really dumb question. It seems to me, having read all of this, that commerce goes all or nothing. We're going to choose the Philippines as the surrogate country. Like, because for coal, they evaluated the Thai option as well as the Philippine option.
Yes.
And but they went Philippine, and it's sort of like once they go one, they go that way whole hog. And they don't seem, are they supposed to analyze each thing separately?
Yes. So each surrogate value must be made on a case-by-case basis. And actually, if you look at the record of these final results itself for bituminous coal, which we mentioned in our direct brief for Chitara Schmidt. For bituminous coal, they actually went to Thailand. And under the same facts, they went to Thailand because they were more representative of a broad range of prices and because they were more product-specific. So even in the final results of this case, and we've done it in numerous other cases, the statute doesn't require that you go to only one surrogate value country.
I understand.
And the regs only say normally. So it's a department practice. It's not a requirement that the department does. And in fact, in many cases, it doesn't, as it is in this case, for another factor. So, and the source also for the Philippine data was not a countrywide source. It was a doing business in the city of Legazpi report. So it was not, it didn't even, you know, purport to be a countrywide source.
Of course,
it was
a countrywide trucking in the Philippines would involve something that would presumably not be present in China, which is that the Philippines is a bunch of islands. So you're not going to be trucking, at least without some ferrying or transport by sea in some form, from one of the islands to another. Now, it so happens that Legazpi and Manila are both on the island of Luzon, and therefore you can truck between one and the other, and they're pretty far apart. So I'm not sure why adding in a bunch of cities that are on different islands would really help much.
Well, in Thailand, I mean, what you want to do is, especially for truck freight, it's important to get a broad range of prices so that you can get a market average that accounts for regional variations and it accounts for different loads.
What I'm saying is that I'm not sure that regional variations in a country that consists mostly of islands is really going to be all that helpful to you, but it seems to me that you're going to end up with either some very short routes, which would be presumably somewhat distorted, or you would end up with different forms of transportation.
But if you look at the Philippine data, it only had one route. So I think if you kind of think of it sort of like, was it a statistically valid sample? It wasn't. It was one route. And there is that record evidence on this record that TIDE data had 10 separate different routes. It's a per unit average route price that we're getting. And the TIDE data was just much more, it was a much more broad-based, better market average.
There's no evidence, I take it, that the Manila to Legazpi rate was unrepresentative of the average Philippine truck rate per island, right?
On the record, it's very clear that it's only based on one.
I understand, but what I'm saying is there wasn't then evidence saying, and what's more, that is unrepresentative of trucking rates in the Philippines in general.
There was not evidence. There's not document evidence of that. I think what you have, though, is Thai evidence showing 10 different routes. It's basically 10 times better than, you know, because it has 10 different price points, whereas you're just looking at one for
Thailand. There
were
multiple trucking companies, though, right?
But
the Philippines, one route.
That's correct, but only for the one route from Legazpi to Manila.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ms. Mohan, your time is well past expired. I'll restore your rebuttal time, but we need to hear from the government.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ms. Soares, is that right? Soares? Soares.
May it please the Court. Your Honor, beginning with appellant's argument related to carbonized material, they continue to conflate wood with wood charcoal. And as we explained in our briefs, wood is not the equivalent to wood charcoal. I'd like to point your honors to the record. That's page JA255, where the different HTS categories are set forth. So the HTS category, the category relevant to this case, is HTS 4402, which is wood charcoal, including shell or nut charcoal. And 4403, as we explained, is wood. So
now this is the Philippine version of the HTS, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
This isn't the HTS, the nationwide HTS. I mean, the worldwide HTS, right?
Actually, let me just confirm.
Is this the Thai version or the Philippine version?
I believe it is the Philippine version, but I will have to.
It's different, of course, from the version that shows up in Cherishman's brief. Right?
Let's see. So this reflects the Philippines, 255 through 256, so it appears to reflect the Philippines.
Yeah.
And I'm just citing this for the proposition that appellants are incorrect in that they're conflating wood with wood charcoal. We are arguing that coconut shell charcoal, which is undisputed as what they use for carbonized materials, falls within HGS 4402 because it is a wood charcoal that is a subset of this category. This category explicitly, by its terms, reflects or refers to shell charcoal. Coconut shell charcoal is shell-derived charcoal.
Right.
It is a subset of 4402.
Right.
Just to make that clear.
Just so I understand, so 4402, what are the various items that fall within 4402? Coconut shell, that's one. What else?
Well, based on this record evidence, there are two categories, bamboo and other.
But the other isn't, I mean, this 4402 wood charcoal, it doesn't comprise just bamboo and coconut shell, right? It must comprise other items.
Yes, Your Honor.
What are those other items?
There's nothing in the record to support the other items. All we have is the broad basket category, Your Honor. And
so the government doesn't know what else is in 4402.90 besides coconut shell?
Your Honor, that goes to what was discussed earlier. Appellants continue to argue that, and I'd like to use their language, that Commerce pulls down HTS data. That contention that Commerce, or that speculation that Commerce pulls down data, is incorrect, and it upends this Court's precedent. As discussed earlier by Your Honor, the precedent that this Court has issued related to surrogate value determinations requires that the appellants create the administrative record. Here, by continuing to argue that this Court or in the Court below should have relied upon argument in comments, completely upends that standard.
I was just going to ask, can you explain why we're looking at apparently two different versions of 4402? You've pointed us to one, that's at A255.
Right.
But then there's another variation of HDS 4402 that appears in a couple blue briefs, one at page 32, another at page 31 of another blue brief. What's going on?
Right, Your Honor, I'm sorry. I pointed to 255 to just deal with
the
translation issue.
I understand that.
But
the question is, why are there two different versions of what appears to be the exact same Philippines HDS 4402? Do you understand what I'm referring to?
Yes,
I'm referring to in the blue brief, there's that they are consistently citing to a different version of 4402.
Right. And
that's the one we're looking at A255.
Right. And that version is what they have as extra record evidence. It's not what Jacoby actually initially placed before Commerce, which is the broad basket category.
So are you telling me you don't know why there's two different versions?
Well, I do know why. One is what they placed in their briefs as extra record evidence, and then there's the broad basket category, which is what they provided to Commerce during the preliminary stages of the proceeding.
So are you saying that what appears at page 255 is the only HTS that was before Commerce at the time it made its decision?
No, Your Honor, could I pull out the version that was before Commerce? The other version. This is just for purposes of illustrating the conflation issue. I'd like to just pull the other version. Excuse me, Your Honor.
There's another table at A421.
That's the basket data, the GTA.
Right.
Right? That's not...
This appears to be Jacoby's submission. Oh, this is what comments... I'm sorry, this is attached to the IND.
So what are you looking at?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. It is as Judge Chen pointed out, 421. This is what was relied upon. This is what was attached to the IND. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, so wait, slow down.
Sure.
So you say this is what was relied upon. So Commerce, did they have that HTS at the 255? You said that. I think they did. I think that's what was presented to them by parties.
By Jacobi.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So at 255, they had that. Then they also had what's present at 421, which is a table from the GTA data source, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, that middle thing is a table.
Yes.
That's not an HTS. That's not, I guess what I'm wondering about is what appears at page 32 of Jacobi's blue brief. Yes, Jacobi's blue brief. Where did this come from, and was this before Commerce?
Your Honor, if it does it reflect a citation, I imagine this is their extra record evidence. Yes, this was not before Commerce. This is what they are placing in the record now. And again, they're placing it on the record now. Upend the court's surrogate value precedent.
Mr. Porter put down a challenge to you in his argument that you would agree with him. He was confident that there was no import of coconut shell charcoal in 2000 in the year of review. Do you agree with that?
No, Your Honor. There's nothing on, and the reason why is because there's nothing on the evidence to support that position. And they speculate as to how Commerce draws down information. But this is not record evidence. This is speculation about Commerce's processes.
Do you have any evidence to the contrary? His assertion is that there was no charcoal, coconut shell based charcoal imports in the review year.
We have no evidence. We have no evidence as
to either way.
Well, they didn't place anything on the record, Your Honor. What we do have is an HTS category that includes what they, and it's an undisputed fact that they did use coconut shell charcoal as carbonized material. So that's undisputed, Your Honor.
They being?
Jacobi.
But not Cherishman.
I thought they used coal.
But Cherishman didn't
use coal.
You just
said it's undisputed they used coconut.
Well, the record reflects that Jacobi used coconut shell and anthracite coal.
But
and
not Cherishman, right?
No, and that Cherishman, or GSHC, as we refer to them, used coconut shell charcoal and bituminous coal. So
where do you find... I thought that the materials we just looked at that showed Cherishman's submission, Commerce showed it was all... coal, either bituminous or anthracite.
We have, I'll point, Your Honor, to the citation to the components from both Jacobi and GTS.
It would help me, actually. I don't know about my colleagues here, but if we could settle on a single word for...
Sure,
Charles
Schmidt.
It's easier to remember than the acronym.
Yes, Your Honor.
At least for me. I
can hear.
Okay.
Charles Schmidt. The sites for Jacobi's production using both anthracite coal and coconut shell are at A765, 977, 1275, and 1277, which we cite in our brief.
Okay, now Cherishman?
And Cherishman would be at 1522 and 1527, which reflects coconut shell, carbonate material composed of coconut shell as well as bituminous coal.
1522?
And 27.
When I look at 1522, it identifies, at the top of 1522, coconut shell and other carbonized materials. I don't see it quite, maybe you can help me identify that second category.
Yes, John,
Thank you.
1522 refers to coconut shell and other carbonized materials, and
what does that other carbonized materials mean?
And then on 1527 refers to bituminous coal at the bottom. The response, the energy coal, lock coal, or smoke coal GST used is non-metallurgical bituminous coal. So that's at the bottom of 1527. And I'm sorry, Your Honor, 1522 referred to carbonized materials as coconut shell and other carbonized materials. And then on the next page, on 1527, it specifies bituminous coal. So they do not, so the record reflects that they produce their carbonized materials reflective of both coconut shell, charcoal, and these other, and coal. So given the coconut shell charcoal is a subset of wood charcoal, it was reasonable for commerce to rely upon that basket category. And, Your Honor, one argument that appellants make is that, and they cite basically lower court cases for this proposition, it's that the HGS category, a broad basket category, is always improper. But in this court's Home Meridian case, which was decided just 6 months ago, this court recognized that a broad HTS category, and that category involved wood, was appropriate given the record.
The real question is when compared to what? And here,
yes, of course,
they have pointed to co-community, which is devoted and dedicated to just coconut shell,
mm-hmm.
which does, in terms of specificity, clearly blow out of the water this wood charcoal basket.
Well, Your Honor, it doesn't blow it out of the water because of the reasons we just discussed, in that it's overly narrow. I mean, if we had a scenario...
What does overly narrow mean when coconut shell has always been the name of the game for the past several years?
It's the proxy for coal.
Well, I mean...
The government has accepted that, right?
Are you talking about subsequent decisions?
Well, I'm talking about just in general. I haven't seen any indication. There's many things that the parties debate and dispute here. I've seen no indication the parties dispute the virtual effective equivalence of coconut shell and coal-based charcoal. You don't dispute that.
No, Your Honor, but the
problem...
All right,
well, that's what I mean. Okay, if we have coconut shell, then we've covered coconut shell and coal, right?
Right.
So it looks like the co-community is, in that respect, a perfect match in terms of specificity, as Judge Chen just pointed out. So I'm not sure what you were, why you were resisting his point.
Well, the co-community data, I guess our larger point is that it contains various deficiencies. And that is when Commerce was weighing HTS 4402 against this co-community data, it determined that the co-community data was unusable. And as the trial court found...
Contrary to its subsequent determinations that it's usable.
Well, Your Honor, the subsequent determinations were based on different records. I mean, in this record...
How were they based on different information coming from co-community in the sense that co-community suddenly started taking out duties and taxes and suddenly was coming out with information that was more broadly based throughout the Philippines?
I can explain, Your Honor.
All right.
What Jacoby did in subsequent proceedings and what it did not do here during the fourth administrative review is put evidence on the record. What they did in the fourth and fifth is put evidence on the record, certifications from co-community as to tax exclusivity, as to mm-hmm. whether the Visayas region of the Philippines reflects a broad market average. The problem is they never met their obligation during this administrative review. So Commerce was left with a record that was bereft of any information to help it understand what the Visayas region of the Philippines means in terms of broad market average. All that appellants asked this court to do is speculate about it must have been. But that must have been is not substantial evidence. As to the tax and duty exclusivity, same issue, Your Honor. In the subsequent administrative review, they papered the record. They met their obligation to provide evidence. And it just underscores what they did subsequently was not what they did during this administrative review, the fourth administrative review. And now they also ask the court to do something that the court has recognized is improper, and that's in the Esser case, which is to pull information from subsequent proceedings and apply it to this proceeding. That would upend several surrogate value decisions that this court has issued, which say that the obligation of the party is to create a record.
Well, a minute ago, though, you said that Commerce determined, and I think that it was an overstatement, that the co-community data was improper or couldn't be used. I don't really understand Commerce as deciding between two forms of data what it determined to be the best source of data. Mm-hmm. I don't understand Commerce as having determined they couldn't use the co-community data, but rather that as between the two, one represented a better proxy, at least on this record, as created for what they were looking for. But they didn't exclude it. They didn't say co-community data couldn't be relied on. They said this other one is a better source.
Right, given the surrogate value criteria.
But so here's the question I have for you. Given that, I recognize that prior to the year in question, they were using India data. But the year before this, the dollar value was 88. And in all subsequent years, it had hovered around 100-ish. Okay. Given that using this particular basket category of Philippine data, the price jumped to $1,200. That is at like roughly 14 times prior years. And given, if I understood Commerce is ruling correctly, they said either on this category, the Thai data or the Philippine data would be equally viable surrogates on this category, right? Am I remembering the record right?
I believe so, Your Honor.
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure. So let's why don't we look just to double sure. That's page 388. You'll have to pull it up, because here I'll just read it to you. Therefore, in light of the above analysis, we find that the Thai and Philippine data for carbonized material are equally viable options. Okay? So I look to say, well, what does the record contain by way of the Thai data? This you should pull. Page 305 of the appendix. 305. This is what the record contained before Commerce about the Thai data on this exact point. And when you look at carbonized material, I'm going to do a little math for you, and you're just going to have to believe me. 3.009 is the bot price. I may be saying it wrong. My law clerk says rhymes with mot, but that's the Thai dollar. Okay. So, and when you translate that into U.S. dollars, and then you multiply it by metric ton, which you have to do, it comes to $90. So we have pricing from India at 88 the year before this year in review, which was accepted by Commerce. We have two equally viable categories of data according to Commerce. The Thai data gives you a price of 90. Now, I'm going to give us a margin of error. We'll say even 100 because I may not have the exact day right for the translation from U.S. dollars to Thai dollars, but it's not a huge fluctuation. So a slight margin of error, roughly in the $100 ballpark. Then you have the Philippine basket data at $1,200. Doesn't that cause Commerce pause? Doesn't that make you think, holy cow, really, really, really big change, huge anomalous blip. I think there's something wrong with this basket category we're using.
Just to supplement the question, the co-community was coming in at about $250. So now if the choice is between co-community $250 and $1,200 for 4402, why go with 4402?
Your Honor, the reason why is that in making the surrogate value determination, Commerce has five categories it looks to, and those categories don't reflect pricing. They reflect broad market average and the other issues we've discussed. And as for the Indian import data from previous proceedings, Your Honor, the India is no longer deemed a surrogate.
Right. I get that. That's why you switched. But you decided, Commerce expressly found as a factual matter that the Thai and Philippine data were equally viable, and the Thai data had a price of roughly 90 to 100, depending on what day the dollar value was. And the Philippine data that you relied on, the GTA, was 1,200. I mean, theirs was 240 or something, roughly. But it's just, I understand that. I mean, I would have thought that would have caused a little pause because neither of these are perfect surrogates.
And,
right? The whole community data is not perfect, and the Philippine data is not perfect.
No,
isn't that something that would have caused you to sort of say, maybe the one we're choosing is a less perfect surrogate, given the variability?
Your Honor, again, pricing isn't one of the surrogate value categories or criteria that are looked at. Commerce, I mean, of course, it is without question, this is an imperfect process. It is necessarily imprecise as this court has recognized. What it does is it looks at the two data sets that are before it. There are only two before it. And when it looked at co-community,
there was Thai, and then there were two for the Philippines.
Right, but before it, I mean, the options are, I mean, in terms of, the HTS category and the co-community category were the options, I guess it was looking at, ultimately. And co-community, because of the issues with broad market average and the lack of information about tax exclusivity and duties.
Tax exclusivity and duties would have only elevated the price to the detriment of appellants.
Right.
And if they were willing to take the elevated price, because they sure as heck would have preferred $240 over $1,200, I don't know how Commerce's difficulty over whether it includes taxes or duties explains the decision.
Your Honor, that would be upending this court's precedence. I mean, that concern with tax exclusivity and duties goes to distortion. And this court has recognized that the concern of tax exclusivity and duties is a recognized surrogate value criterion that Commerce can look to in making its determination. So that is.
Yes, but you had no evidence on this record of whether it did or didn't include it. So why do you jump to the conclusion that it might include it?
Well, as this court has recognized in Meridian, that Commerce isn't required to prove a negative. The whole point of record review is to get information on the record that supports your position. I mean, the parties have an obligation to participate in the process and provide support for those arguments. And the parties simply did not do that here.
But who is this rule designed to protect, to try to avoid including data that might have taxes in it? I assume it's designed to protect the importer, the respondent?
Well, the rule is designed to make sure that the value is as accurate as possible.
Right, but I guess the question I'm having in my head is the whole point of trying to avoid taxes is to try to avoid the possibility that the price will be unfairly inflated and increased, which would inure to the detriment of the importer respondent, right?
Well, Your Honor, I mean, the concern is not with detriment. It's with getting the proper value, the most accurate value. That's the statutory scheme. And that's, I mean, as this court recognized, those criterion get at accuracy. That is the point of those criterion.
The question of whose burden it is with respect to whether a particular surrogate candidate price includes taxes, I think Chief Judge Rustani, I think it was Judge Rustani, has an opinion in Hebei. Do you know that case?
Yes.
And she seems to say that that's Commerce's burden. Would you agree with that? To establish that the price includes taxes and therefore shouldn't be considered or given full weight for that reason. In this case, the co-community price and the speculation on the part of Commerce that it may have included taxes and duties. Judge Rustani's opinion seems to suggest that was Commerce's burden to establish that there was that it did include taxes. You know the passage I'm talking about. It was cited by the other side.
I don't remember it exactly, Your Honor, but that doesn't reflect this Court's precedent. The precedent's related to surrogate value determination.
Was it related specifically to the tax determination?
All surrogate values. I mean, they're required to place evidence on the record to support their position.
Mm-hmm. And what's the best case of this Court for that proposition?
Yes, Your Honor. I actually think I have a few... QVD. And it's one of the cases...
I'm sorry, what's the name?
QVD.
QVD. Mm-hmm.
It's a 2011 Federal Circuit case, Your Honor. And that case, I mean, that case is also resonant with this appeal. In that case, this Court recognized that the appellant there was in an awkward position to argue that Commerce abused its discretion by not relying on evidence that appellant had failed to introduce into the record.
Okay.
I believe I have... Yes, QVD would be
Okay.
Thank you. I have just one last question. Getting back to the question of choosing one surrogate value possibility over another, and following up on Judge Moore's earlier question or concern, really, about one particular price point being apparently far afield from all the other price points, is it Commerce's view that when doing the inquiry and studying all the factors, it can basically ignore the outcome in terms of how much disparity it might look like compared to prior determinations? That's not a relevant inquiry at all. It might be 10 times higher, it might be 500 times higher. It doesn't matter so long as Commerce reasonably employs whatever criteria that they're supposed to use?
Yes, Your Honor. I would say that previous proceedings don't matter. And again, this Court has recognized that each administrative proceeding must stand on its own record.
But what about the principle that, you know, you should consider possible aberrational outcomes as well?
Right, but the Court should consider aberrational outcomes, but there's nothing on the record to suggest aberration. Here appellants were looking at Indian data. Indian data reflects a country that is not a...
But the Thai data suggests aberration, too, right? The Thai data, which Congress said is an equally viable option, amounts to about $100. Why doesn't that suggest that the Philippine data at $1,200 is aberrational?
Well, again, Your Honor, Commerce was looking at other factors and was concerned about the breadth of the surrogate value factors is what I'm referring to. It was concerned about the breadth of the surrogate value factors and satisfying them. And, of course, those factors reflect the best available information, and they're a proxy for that standard, which, of course, as this Court has recognized, Commerce has great discretion in applying.
Okay, thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Laverda?
I just want to take the few minutes I have, Your Honor, to maybe clear up a little bit of the confusion with the government and Mr. Porter kind of talking past each other about what they do use and what they don't use. The record's clear that for the material that went to the United States, only coal was used by anybody. There was no charcoal used. There was no wood charcoal used. There was no nut-based charcoal used.
Well, now, Ms. Suarez disagrees with that, if I understand her response. So you're taking issue with her on that.
As I read the record, they do use nut-based.
Right, but not
charcoal, but not in the product that was shipped to the United States.
All right.
That's how I understand the record and the pages that the court was just discussing with the parties. So Commerce was faced with two, as the court has recognized, imperfect choices. The choice they used includes nut-based, includes other wood-based, all of which Commerce found could be used to produce the subject merchandise. The question that, in having chosen between two imperfect choices, we got to make the record, Mr. Porter got to make the record, all the parties got to make a record. In order to demonstrate that use of the Philippine HTS basket cutter is incorrect, Mr. Porter decided to place on the record HTS information that's right before the court, not before Commerce. All the things that are potentially wrong with the data that they challenge come from extra record evidence, either tariff numbers that don't match with the tariff numbers.
What are the what is the source, if you know, of the tariff that is tariff numbers that are found in the briefs, as opposed to the one that's found in the joint appendix?
You would have to ask Mr. Porter where he got those numbers. I can only assume that HTS numbers are only harmonized out to 6 digits internationally, and once you get out to 10 digits, then there are these statistical subcategories. None of that information about statistical subcategories, if it existed in the particular year, was placed on the record. So based on the data that was on the record, we only went out to 8 digits in the high category, not this 10 digits. And they were completely different. The point is, the respondents are attempting to say, look, there must be something wrong with the data, because from other places we can find, and other times when we actually did go to the trouble to prove what the problem was, we found that there weren't imports. I don't get to do what Judge Moore got to do today in looking at that extra record data and maybe finding that maybe what the respondents are claiming isn't quite accurate. We are stuck with the record that we have, that we all got a chance to make. And Commerce took the record that we created. And I would take issue with Judge Rustani on the tax issue, that it's Commerce's burden to figure that out. It is our burden when we place a source of data on the record and say, you should use this data. And by the way, all the data in dispute here that's on the record was placed on by the respondents. So it is the party's burden to make the record for Commerce to rule on. And then once that record gets before this court, this is a record evidence proceeding, and the determinations made by the court should be based on the record evidence.
Okay, Mr. Roberta, you're well over your time, too, and we've got to bring this to close, so thank you. Let me go back to Mr. Porter. You have 3 minutes of rebuttal. Ms. Mohan, no one in the appellee side addressed transportation, so there's no rebuttal remaining on your end.
Thank you, Your Honor. Let me clear up some confusion here and thank my colleagues. With respect to the HTS information, apparently, in the very year that we're talking about, 2010, the Philippines changed their system. They went from, I believe, an 8-digit to 10-digit system. And that's the source of the confusion. In the brief, that we have, where Charismet has, here's the 4 digits, here are the 10 digits, that's the actual headings that apply in the review period in question.
But they weren't presented to Commerce. That's the
trade court said it is proper for the court to take judicial notice of the headings, that these headings were in fact the proper headings of the Philippine system for the review period in question. So just you asked what the source of confusion is. That's the source of confusion, that the essentially the headings that Congress used were an old HTS.
That's point number one. Point number two, to judge more why you saw values, I apologize, I should have thought of this. Again, I thank my colleagues. The reason you saw values, you're seeing imports from non-market economy countries, China or Vietnam. And what Congress does is they exclude them. They're not usable for surrogate value purposes. So when you would, after you exclude the imports from China or Vietnam, you have no imports of coconut shell charcoal. Now, government conceded there's no evidence contrary to that. But the final point that I want to make is very important. The government stood up here and said they do not pull down the data. I can show you that, in fact, they do. If you turn to the record 371. This is that's called the, nope, sorry, apologize, no, 401. This is called the surrogate value memo. Turn to page 402. Under Global Trade Atlas, certain surrogates have to use in GTA. We did not adjust the values for inflation. And then you turn to where Judge Chen cited, where they actually have the data. If you look at that data, that is completely different, the format, than either Jacoby or Cherish Matt submitted. They pulled down their own data. They didn't use the data submitted by Jacoby and Cherish Matt. That is the GTA data. Okay? This is proof positive that they pulled down their own data. So the government is wrong to say they don't pull down the data. The final point...
The real question is that whether they have an obligation to pull down any data. I mean, what this case really seems to come down to is, did you put enough into the record to give Commerce a basis for not using co-community, a basis for using co-community over the evidence that it had with respect to other surrogates? And as to that, the question is that Commerce's duty, either with respect, for example, to the tax factor or with respect to other factors, or is that something that you had an obligation to put in?
Your Honor, I submit the evidence on the record supports Judge Chen's observation that the cocoa community blows out of the water with respect to product specificity. And I submit there's really no dispute in that fact. In fact, the government conceded that point. My position is, once that's agreed, that the cocoa community is more product specific, everything else is really irrelevant. And I take Judge Moore's observations as well, that in fact, the tax and duty was against us.
Well, how can we, doctrinally, how do we integrate that into our analysis? Because Ms. Suarez tells us that's absolutely violative of the basic principles of calculating duty, is to take into account whether this is actually hurting or helping the particular complaining party.
Judge Moore is correct. There is precedent for the Court of National Trade saying a particular surrogate value is highly aberrational.
Well, I'm not going to aberrational
okay.
Now. I'm going to whether this is helpful or harmful to the complaining party.
Because
the tax duty, clearly, if we look at that, we would be able to say, who cares whether there was tax or duty? Jacoby's better off if they lose. I mean,
Understood. The overarching doctrinal point that I think you need to adopt is essentially one that the trade court itself has adopted in some cases, which is specificity trumps. That when you have more specific data that's contemporaneous, no one disagrees that all the data is contemporaneous, you have contemporaneous specific data, then that trumps.
Could there possibly be the rule? Because if that were the rule, suppose your specific data was from a tiny, tiny, tiny little town in the Philippines, and that there's no evidence that it's representative of the entire Philippines community. Suppose we're not even talking about the Philippines, which is a relatively small country, but we're actually talking about China, and your data is from a tiny, tiny, tiny little place in China. How do we know it's representative of the whole country? It can't be that specificity trumps everything else.
Obviously, I'm sorry, I overspoke. Not in all situations, but I would say in this situation where there is evidence of broadly representative of the whole Philippines.
The publication, what is the evidence that it's broadly representative of the whole Philippines?
The publication itself on page 2 or 3, we cite it in our brief.
But the publication just says Philippine National Price, and then in the data, which backs it up, it says Visayas Region Maya.
Right. But we would argue the clear implication is this publication believed this region was sufficiently large to be broadly representative of all the Philippines.
That's a leap, it seems to me. And what they're saying is, here's the price we got for you, and that's the price we got from Visayas. I don't see any place that they say, and what's more, it's representative of the Philippines. Because they do have prices for other countries listed on the same page, in which they say, this country, and they don't have qualifications for region, and then they have other countries as to which they have qualifications for region. Right. So I'm not sure I'm seeing the conclusion there that the Visayas evidence is necessarily countrywide. Is there more than that?
No, Your Honor. That our evidence of countrywide is the publication itself refers to it as national prices.
If two reasonable minds could differ in how they read the co-community publication as to whether it's a national price number or just a region-specific price number, then we should give deference to the fact finders. Determination of one choice over the other. Is that right?
Okay. Your Honor, that is correct for that issue, which is, so you have a variety of different considerations. At the end of the day, they need to decide the best information available. And I submit that Judge Moore is correct. They need to take into account specificity, tax and duty exclusive, broad representativeness, and whether it's just ultimately reasonable. And they need to take all of that into account. And if you take all of that into account, which is the best, and we submit the co-community work. Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you for your indulgence.
Okay, thanks all counsel. The case is taken under submission.
All right.